SMB didn't put out an article. IT Web put out an article today around a data breach that that affected FNB customers on the FNB app. Now, this is interesting because we've had a lot of data breaches. We know that cybersecurity has been a serious concern within the South African landscape. But alongside that, things around cyber crimes, anti-money laundering crimes, terrorist financing type activities as well. I mean, that's the reason that the FATF that we spoke about yesterday is considering putting us on a grey list because of the concerns they have around the security aspects that we have. And now cybersecurity is definitely another security element of this that I'm sure will rear its ugly head. We know that the POPI Act, the Protection of Public Information Act, has come into effect, and it looks as though this data breach is the FNB mobile app had a glitch that exposed personal information of customers or specifically customers that applied for home loans. It exposed things like their names, IDs, and contact details. There was a customer who had applied. I read the article, and customer said that after applying, they were able to see the data of other individuals that had applied for the similar sort of home loan. And now, the obvious concern around that is around data security, around data management, around the fact that your information then is not safe within the FNB app. And the obvious thing is having reported that. So the customer reported this whole thing to the information authorities, saying this is a breach of POPI. But just on the data breach side of things, I mean, as we said, we know the importance of this. And I'm joined on the line by the MD of Galix, Simeon Tasev. Good evening, Simeon. Thanks very much for your time. What do we make of the latest data breach? And is it something that we shouldn't be expecting at this stage? Is it something that apps or banks like FNB that take pride in the security of clients should have this figured out?
Hi, good evening, and good evening to all the listeners. I think it's a good question. I think we do believe that we have reached a level of maturity where those things shouldn't happen, but it is a fact. It's happening, and sometimes it doesn't take much to to explore a specific gap and achieve what somebody unintentionally achieved. So in this instance, this wasn't intentional, and the person that reported it obviously reported it because he was trying to use the app. But a lot of times, those kind of exploits can be used, the information can fall into the wrong hands, and that can be used for various malicious intent. So it is really concerning that we still get that, but at the same time, I do believe that it's going to become more and more difficult for us to protect our own information. Our information has been shared, amongst various service providers. They, on their hand, are sharing it with their third parties and service providers. So it becomes a very difficult task to ensure that everybody within that chain has the relevant controls in place. I wish I could be more positive and say, yes, it's happening and it's going to happen. But the reality is the complexity brings, an element of possibility that, we will have our data exposed. And unfortunately, once the data is exposed, it's very difficult to protect it again.
Now, from a compliance perspective, I mean, you mentioned information sharing within organizations and that sort of thing. What does that then mean for what we should be looking at, or what companies rather should be looking at in terms of complying with the Protection of Public Information Act? Should there be a greater onus or a greater emphasis on businesses ensuring that their compliance procedures are more than just a tick box exercise?
Absolutely. I think we all know that many companies, unfortunately, use a tick box exercise to achieve various types of compliance. The POPI or the POPI Act, as we know it, is one of those. And obviously, with that comes a lot of responsibilities for the companies to protect, first of all, their own data, their own employees' personal data, then their clients' data, and then their partners' data. Because a lot of times, again, there is collaboration between different companies, and that is where I believe a lot of the problems happen. I mean, in this particular case with F&B, we still don't know where exactly the problem was or how exactly it happened. I mean, we've, yeah, as you said, we've read the article. I don't believe that there's been a proper investigation, but I do believe that the information regulator will provide that information, or they will do their own investigation and have their own conclusions. Again, from a company perspective, yes, one needs to make sure that they, first of all, acknowledge and understand the risks associated with personal information. As always, our recommendation is if you don't need information, don't keep it. You know, you don't have to try and protect information that you don't really need. But the information that you do need, which is really a lot of that information, is relevant for various businesses and different types of processes and, you know, basically the operations of various companies. That information needs to be protected as much as possible. And yes, it's all about the intent. But sometimes, you know, there's different gray areas in there where, you know, you can do more. And what we're trying to say is the reality is, you know, we live in a digital world and we have to make sure that we do everything we can to protect that information and not just say so, or not just tick a box in saying, oh, yeah, well, we do have those controls in place. So I think that's the point.
Now, I mean, we reached out to F&B for response and comment on this, and F&B's official response was F&B is aware of a technical error that made the information of certain home loan applicants, such as names and ID numbers, visible to other home loan applicants who logged in on our digital channels. F&B takes the privacy and protection of our customer information very seriously, and the affected functionality has since been temporarily disabled to resolve the root cause of the issue. We are in the process of contacting the affected customers and the appropriate regulator. If customers requiring assistance can contact us through secure chat on the F&B app. So that's what F&B has said. But the you mentioned the importance of the information regulator. Now, in a situation like this, what is the information regulator able to do? Are they able to, I mean, F&B has acknowledged that there was a problem on their side. The customers have raised the problem. So it's clear that this is a present issue and a present concern. Now, is the information regulator empowered to impose things like fines for non-compliance, whether it's on F&B's part or the service other service providers' parts or whatever? And if they are authorized to do that, should we see them implementing those more to sort of cut down on these sorts of cyber attacks?
So the Act clearly states that they are in a position to have different types of fines and penalties, including imprisonment, by the way, which obviously in this case I seriously doubt it will get there. But the fact is, this is what the Act states. The problem is that, you know, in order to enforce that, the information regulator needs to do their own investigation. So they need to have a proper understanding of the incident and from there draw their own conclusions. And only then they're in a position to say, yes, that was due to negligence, or no, it wasn't due to negligence. Unfortunately, we still haven't seen any of those enforcements happening in South Africa. We are seeing a lot of those happening worldwide, especially in Europe. There's been a number of substantial fines in Europe through the similar type of legislation called the GDPR. And there, it's a reality, and people are paying a really substantial amount of money. Here, the problem I see is that, I don't want to say people are not taking it seriously, but without that enforcement, without those fines, yes, there's definitely other negative impacts from a breach, and especially the you know, the impact on the brand. But at the end of the day, I don't believe that that's efficient enough, and I don't believe that people are taking this as seriously as they should. And I don't mean this for, you know, the particular case with F&B. I don't understand, or I don't have the information to comment on that. So I don't mean them in particular. I generally say this for most companies in South Africa that deal with personal data. It's just something that we need to take more seriously. And it's our you know, all of us have that responsibility. It's not somebody else's problem. It's our problem.
Mm. Now, where do consumers, or where can consumers go to protect that, or to keep their data more secure? I mean, we know that companies and websites and apps and platforms all give you privacy policies and cookies policies and things saying that they are collecting your data. But how do consumers then ensure that from their side, at least, they're doing everything that they can to protect and safeguard their own data?
So, again, unfortunately, there isn't much that the consumer can do. If the data is required for whatever reason, whatever purpose, then that information will be given to the relevant party, which will then process that information in accordance with whatever their need is. And that's totally legal, and obviously, you know, as long as the information is used for the defined purpose. The challenge is that, you know, the personal information sitting with a company, there's nothing you can do to protect that information. The responsibility lies with the person that safeguards that information. And unfortunately, the only thing that an individual can do is, first of all, question what kind of information is required and why. We still, unfortunately, see a lot of instances where people request information which is completely unnecessary. The likes of an ID number, which, you know, yes, there are different, you know, use cases where ID number is required, but there's a number of cases where that's completely unnecessary. So just question that and say, what is the purpose of this information? Why are you collecting this information? And there's absolutely no problem in asking, how do you protect my information? Every person has the right to go and request for the information to be removed. And for that information not to be used anymore. So that's the right for every one of us to go and request that. But again, how do we know that that's going to happen? Well, we don't. That, unfortunately, again, goes back to the responsibility of the party that has the information. That's unfortunately the reality.
Should we then not have somewhat of an oversight from guys like the information regulator to say that if a client has requested this of you, you need to do this as a company or abide by it? I mean, we know that the Poppy Act makes room for that 10 million rand fine, the 10 years imprisonment, whatever. But if a customer has come to you and said, please remove my data from your systems, should we not then empower the information regulator to say that this was a request that was made and you as the custodian of this information have not abided by this request?
Absolutely. And that's currently, well, part of the act and part of definitely the role that information regulator is playing. They are in a position to go and audit and question that. They have been busy with a number of audits, you know, as advertised by themselves. And there's a lot of work that they are doing. Again, the reality is that, you know, one body such as the information regulator cannot enforce this throughout every single organization or every single person that, you know, carries personal information or has personal information, as you call the custodian of information. That's the challenge. So the only way to do that is, first of all, I do believe that we need to mature the act a little bit to be a bit more specific and try not to be as generic as it is right now. Mm. And in doing so, enable perhaps third parties to provide that kind of assurance. For example, somebody that's certified to be an assessor or auditor for Poppy and do this on behalf of the information regulator. You know, it is something that, you know, we've been talking about in this industry, but unfortunately it's still not a reality, and we don't know if it will be a reality at any point in time.
Well, we can only hope and pray that it does come to light. Information protection, particularly in the digital age we live in, is absolutely critical. But that's all we have time for. Thanks very much, Simeon Tosev. That was the MD at Galax. It's 8 o'clock. We're going to get a news update with Nomusa Zwane. But from my side, that's all we have time for this evening. Be sure to